Acts chapter 22, from the verse number 24 to the end of this chapter. The chief captain commanded Paul to be brought into the castle and bade that Paul should be examined by scourging, that the chief captain might know wherefore the Hebrews cried so against Paul. And as the soldiers bound Paul with tongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, the centurion went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto Paul, Tell me, art thou a Roman? Paul said, Yes. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was born free. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that Paul was a Roman, and because he, the chief captain, had bound him. On the morrow, because the chief captain would have known the certainty wherefore Paul was accused of the Jews, the chief captain loosed Paul from Paul's bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set Paul before them. I was reading from the King James version of the Holy Scripture, and I was somewhat paraphrasing, replacing many of the pronouns with the personal names of the people that the pronouns were standing in place for. Before I say a few words about this passage, and especially about the behavior, the manners of Paul the Apostle before the local governing authorities like the chief captain and the so-called high priest and the others in Jerusalem, I would like very strongly to urge everyone who is listening to this recording to turn on the recording from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, the passage from the verse number 37 to the verse number 48, where I presented my understanding, my opinion about the manners in which the Christians should behave when they are exposed to suffering and torture or anything undesirable. Now, turning back to this passage, from the verse 24 to the end of this chapter, I am reading again verse number 24. The chief captain commanded Paul to be brought into the castle and bade or commanded that Paul should be examined by scourging. Scourging is torture. They would beat a man often unconscious. How do I know that? I don't. But I read about that in other books and about the Roman military system and the Roman governing system over the provinces, former countries that the Roman conquest turned into provinces. We have a lot of evidence in the historical books, and in every high school all over the United States, you can learn a few things about Roman style of governing the occupied territories. So scourging was torture. Not all the people would endure that or survive that. Some would die because of the scourging. It was such a terrible thing to do to a human being. Why would the chief captain say that? I think that the manners, or the lack of manners, the savage manners of the Hebrew in Jerusalem toward Paul the Apostle were such awful manners that the chief captain was convinced that Paul must have been an awful criminal. And now, after Paul explained to the chief captain that he is not that Egyptian that is organizing assassinations and so on, again the chief captain is commanding the same thing: scourge him, beat him to death, and then he is going to confess anything. Well, that's their idea. But the Lord had something different in store, and Paul had a different idea than the chief captain. You see, if you are a Hebrew condemned by the Hebrew local government, the Roman governing authorities are going to support the Hebrew government because they want to make so-so friends with the Hebrew rulers. They want to have cooperation. The Roman rulers are aware that it's very difficult to rule over a nation unless you have in subjection their local rulers. If the local rulers are cooperating with the occupying forces, then the poor people, the masses, have no other leadership, and the Roman rulership is somehow secured. But when the chief captain understood that Paul is a Roman citizen, oh, that's a different story. Then there are different rules, a completely different set of rules for an ordinary Hebrew and a different set of rules for a Roman citizen, because Roman citizens are privileged. They are the ruling bunch of people, or the ruling segment of that so-called human society, or that regime. In Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, from the verse number 4, I would read a few verses just to show what was Paul's attitude altogether. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. If Paul considered the gain or the prestige or the priorities and preferences in the Jewish society as a loss for the sake of Christ, how much more, and if not more, surely not less, the privileges and priorities and preferences of the Roman society, a godless, Gentile, idolatrous, immoral society as the Roman society was. And yet, here we see Paul the Apostle bringing to the scene his Roman citizenship, or his privileged position in the Roman regime, under the Roman rulership. He did that for the protection of the gospel. Oh yes, it was his personal protection also. But he was persecuted because he is Christ's messenger, and because he is bringing the gospel to the people. And here he is threatened with torture because of the same gospel. And so Paul the Apostle used his Roman citizenship, his privilege guaranteed by the Roman law, not to boost up his own pride, but to protect himself, but in the first place to protect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he wrong? No. I think he is right, and I think those that think that that might be wrong are wrong themselves. To avoid repetitions in recordings, and on the other hand, to supplement this short or brief presentation of this passage, Acts chapter 22 from the verse number 24 to the end of this chapter, I would also suggest every interested and earnest listener of these recordings to also turn on the recording on Acts chapter 16 from the verse number 16 to the verse number 40. By the end of that recording, there is more about the use of self-protection and protection of the gospel, the use of the law enforcement and some privileges guaranteed by the law of the land or the law that is ruling the countries in which we are having our pilgrimage, in which we are having our testimony. May the Lord give all of his people, all of his children, grace and discernment, grace and power to suffer as much and whenever is necessary, and to suffer with the strength that he is supplying, trusting in him and knowing that there is a purpose and there is a value in suffering for the Lord, for the Lord's calling, for the Lord's name, for the Lord's testimony. May the Lord also give us all the wisdom and understanding that we never invite unnecessary suffering, and whenever there is a possibility, an opportunity to make the testimony of the gospel prosper and be extended to the other people or shared among the children of the Lord with less suffering and more prosperity. And if there is some protection of the law of the land available, to use it and not to be afraid to use everything that is provided to us by the Lord to serve the Lord.